Saul says Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu secretly visited Saudi Arabia MBS and has again proved that the Saudi dictator regime wants to survive in power at any cost. There's much more to come. May Allah save us from the destruction that is going on towards the Muslim.
If we didn't have Saudi Arabia, we wouldn't have a big base. We wouldn't have any reason, probably. I mean, if you look at Israel, Israel would be in big trouble without Saudi Arabia. So what does that mean? Israel's going to leave? You want Israel to leave? We have a very strong ally in Saudi Arabia.
Amit, any more reaction to that story?
Yes. So Ben Norton says the UK, US government and the authoritarian proxy dictatorship pops up in Saudi Arabia is going around to every Muslim majority country and trying to bribe and threaten them to recognize apartheid Israel. Pakistan is the latest example. Not everyone agrees. We've got a Trump supporter, Prashant Patel. He says Trump made Israeli-Saudi peace deal possible. Trump unraveled conflict with North Korea. Trump is the only US president who didn't start any war in the last 30 years. Still, Trump is hated by the far left. Now, I don't call it a peace deal. It's more like an anti-Iran war alliance. These countries have never, or these entities have never been a threat to one another. So it's not really a peace deal.
All right. Amit Caballo with those three stories. Amit, thank you very much. And that's all the time we have for this London broadcast, everyone. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you again soon.
Limelight. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's public addresses, interviews, and other remarks are characterized by bravado, hate-mongering, big lies, and mass deception. U.S. foreign policy with him at State Department has been one of the darkest chapters in the nation's history. Recently, the CIA-connected Washington Post slammed his legacy of incompetence, adding, "It peaked with his failed Iran policy." His latest moves, visiting an illegal Israeli settlement in occupied Golan Heights, were as mean-spirited as misguided. His intention to further sanction Iran weekly through 20th of January is perfectly consistent with his track record of staging poorly conceived publicity stunts rather than undertaking any actual diplomacy with the government of Iran. He and the Trump administration overall have been all sticks and no carrots geopolitically. We now present you an article written by Stephen Lenman, a Chicago-based research author, research associate of the Center for Research on Globalization, and host of the Progressive Radio News Hour. The piece is titled "Loose Cannon: Pompeo's War of Words on Iran." Please stay with us for more. Words could kill, loose cannon, Mike Pompeo's remarks would be considered weapons of mass destruction. The big lie about an Iranian threat has been around for decades. Ignored is that Washington's only threats are invented, none are real. What's been geopolitically clear since the Second World War ended. In stark contrast, hardliners from both right wings of the US War Party threaten everyone everywhere. U.S. imperial aims, by diabolical means used to advance them, represent an unparalleled threat to humanity. The Islamic Republic of Iran is the region's leading proponent of peace and stability. Its ruling authorities pursue cooperative relations with other countries and confrontation with none. Long-standing U.S. plans for regime change are all about its sovereign independence. Nations free from its imperial control aren't tolerated. In West Asia, they're an obstacle to U.S. and Israeli hegemonic aims. In Iran's case, long-standing U.S. hostility towards the country is also about wanting to control Iran's vast hydrocarbon reserves. The Trump regime hardliners escalated war on Iran by other means, beyond where their predecessors went. My previous article discussed possible U.S. aggression and threats against Iran during what may be Donald Trump's final weeks in office. While he continues, inherited hot wars in Afghanistan, Syria, and Yemen, and waged greater wars than ever by other means against targeted countries, he did not initiate new aggression on his watch. With 2 months of his tenure remaining, if legal challenges to brazen election fraud fail, will he go at the 11th hour where he hasn't gone before? Would he risk embroiling West Asia in greater than ever conflict since the Second World War ended, during what may be his final days in office? Would he want to be remembered for launching what could develop into catastrophic war as his parting shot as U.S. President and Commander-in-Chief? Would he risk more greatly tainting his record in office than already? I believe a Trump regime war on Iran before 20th of January is highly unlikely. At the same time, war of words on the Islamic Republic and piling on more illegal sanctions will continue over the next 2 months and beyond. As long as Iran refuses to subordinate its sovereign rights to U.S. interests, what no nation should do, it will remain a prime target for regime change. That's how the scourge of imperialism works, permitting no nation to remain free from its iron grip. On Monday, 23rd of November, hawkish U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo concluded visits with officials in France, Turkey, Georgia, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and occupied Palestine. Before leaving the occupied Palestinian territories, he was interviewed by the Zionist regime's daily The Jerusalem Post. Asked if all Trump administration options remain on the table against Iran, Pompeo claimed, of course. The administration has been clear on that for its entire 4 years, he added. There is no reason that would change that today or tomorrow. Defying reality, he falsely claimed maximum pressure success. President Donald Trump's regime's West Asian policies overall made the U.S. more of a pariah state than already. Iran today is much stronger politically and militarily than when Donald Trump took office, its latter strength solely for defensive purposes. Its geopolitical agenda is polar opposite of how the US operates on the world stage, waging peace and stability in stark contrast to Washington's war on humanity. Mike Pompeo's public addresses, interviews, and other remarks are characterized by bravado, hate-mongering, big lies, and mass deception. U.S. foreign policy with him at the State Department has been one of the darkest chapters in America's history. Recently, the CIA-connected Washington Post slammed his legacy of incompetence, adding, "It peaked with his failed Iran policy. His latest move, visiting an illegal Israeli settlement and the occupied Golan Heights, were as mean-spirited as misguided." His intention to further sanction Iran weekly through to 20th of January is perfectly consistent with his track record of staging poorly perceived publicity stunts rather than undertaking any actual diplomacy with the government of Iran. He said the Trump regime overall has been all sticks and no carrots geopolitically. its so-called maximum pressure policy only disrupting the import of medicines and food for ordinary Iranians who are fighting the coronavirus pandemic. The Trump regime's maximum pressure policy has been a total bust. Pompeo's interview with Jerusalem Post was characterized by a litany of bold-faced big lies and absence of hard truths. He lied saying Iran foments regional harm, a US-NATO-Israeli specialty, not how Tehran operates anywhere. Claiming Trump regime actions against Iran isolated the country is belied by reality. He lied calling Trump's geopolitical agenda a vision of peace, an anathema notion in Washington. Pompeo lied accusing Iran of being prime actor who is causing instability in West Asia. He is spearheading an effort to try to prevent the United States from returning to the JCPOA if Biden-Harris administration replaces the Trump administration on 20th of January. He reinvented the Trump regime's West Asia agenda, claiming continuation of the things we've been doing leads to a very increased likelihood of a safer, more prosperous region, and that our Israeli friends will be safer and more secure as a result of that as well. Pretending concern for Palestinian rights ignored nearly 4 years of Trump regime's trampling on Palestinian rights. Trump's domestic and geopolitical agendas have been virtually wrecking balls for ordinary people both at home and abroad. They've been a gift that keeps on giving to the wealthy, power and privilege interests at the expense of most people everywhere. Trump will be remembered as a bombastic businessman, geopolitical know-nothing, reality TV president. Mike Pompeo will be remembered as a thug masquerading as a diplomat. The last 4 years will be remembered as one of America's darkest chapters. What's coming will likely be worse domestically and geopolitically, no matter which wing of U.S. geopoly rule controls the White House and/or the Congress.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
جهان ما ضبط صوت بزرگی است که صدای ما را هر کلمه‌ای که از ما صادر شود.
The world we live in is a large recording apparatus which records our voice. Every word of it.
One of the most outstanding features about him is that he cared for the humanity, and he mentioned this all the time and said لأجل الإنسان, because of the
humanity. Well, within the social activities we can count one of his greatest things that he started when he went back to Lebanon, and that was the dialogues between the different religions and تقريب المذاهب. And that's how we see, like, he was very close to the youth as well, because he used to visit the church as well and the different
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm Atta, the host of this program. The teacher is an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers, scholars, and philosophers all across the Nation of Islam. And with me in the studio are two guest speakers, two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, to elaborate on the thoughts and works of Imam Musa Saad, one of such scholars. Dr. Murtaza Zazadeh, assalamu alaikum brother, and welcome to this show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I'm glad to be here.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, assalamu alaikum brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome. So in this new series of the program, The Teacher, we are mainly concerned with the thoughts and most outstanding elaborations and opinions of outstanding Muslim thinkers. After Shahid Murtaza Mutahhari, we are discussing the thoughts and works of one of the other outstanding Muslim Shia scholars, that is Sayyid Musa al-Saad, mainly known as Imam Musa al-Saad, a Lebanese-Iranian cleric and philosopher who was very much famous for his open-mindedness. He was disappeared in Libya in 1978. If he is alive, may Allah give him health, and he passed away, may he rest in peace. It is still not clear, even in the news, that from 1978, where this great outstanding scholar is living. Sayyid Musa al-Saad was famous for giving outstanding lectures, and most of his audience were the average youth of Lebanon and Iran. He was famous for giving lectures in both the Arabic language and the Persian language. So for today's discussion, we want to listen to one of his Farsi audio file along with the English translation, and then we'll get to the elaboration by the scholars over here. Let's listen to that and we'll be back.
بهره بردن از زیبایی های زندگی، بهره بردن از نعمت های الهی به طور معقول و منطقی.
Enjoying the beauties of life and the divine blessings in a reasonable manner not only are allowed but also desired by God, as we have received from the traditions of the infallible Imams. So it is possible to move in a way where human's body enjoys and his soul is happy and his moods and thoughts are calm, and at the same time his self is satisfied. What good would it do those who ignore a great part of them, their instinct and natural spirit for finding God, or get drawn in their lusts and pleasure, or even retire from society and communicative life? One should educate, become a socialized person, and still remain a religious person. All these gather and unify. All will establish a single path.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, The Teacher. What you listened to was Imam Musa Saad, the Farsi audio file, along with the English translation. So, Dr. Azadeh, let's start with you for this episode, brother. This religion for life also is misunderstood, brother, sometimes. Because we find some of the religious people who are spending on the way of Allah, but they get to excessive use of, we can say, the money and the materials around them. And they think because they are spending for the religion of Allah, so they find salvation in this world. This is also, I mean, this religion for life is also might be misunderstood by some of the Muslims. Isn't it true, brother?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, misunderstandings can happen for anyone, you know. Spending the gifts that God has given you in an improper way can happen for every person, regardless of their faith, if they do not have a proper understanding of the wisdom behind these gifts.
I know, but sometimes the people do not give it religious color. I mean, sometimes our expenditure and spending of the money and the charity that we are given are considered in the religious framework, okay?
You mean so, they are not giving it a religious, or they are giving?
They are. They are giving it a religious framework, but at the same time, it seems that it is not the proper way.
You know, I think in many cases, the problem is something else. People know that they are doing right. In rare cases, not in most cases, people may really be misunderstanding. But in most cases, those people who are doing that type of things, they know that they are wrong, but they are using religion as a means to justify their wrongdoings. And that is even worse than those people who are doing these things without the name of the religion. Okay. Because if you are exploiting religion in order to justify your wrongdoings, that is even a worse crime.
A worse crime than those people who do not believe
absolutely,
in religion.
Absolutely, because you are actually deviating or defacing religion okay. for your own benefit. And this is much worse. So we have those people whom their ultimate desire is this world, and the only thing that they care about is having a fancy, extravagant life for themselves.
Yes.
They don't care about the spirituality or good life. Mm-hmm. But still, because they are living in a religious society or community,
yes.
or because they are being somehow blamed by they feel guilty
yes.
because yes. they feel guilty and they know that they are right. They use the name of religion in order to justify themselves or in order even to in order to calm themselves down.
Yeah.
And but at the end of the day, if they refer back to their own, if they reflect mm-hmm. on it, they know that they are doing something which is not proper.
Yeah, I mean, the religion sometimes, said Mohsen Naqvi, is decorated with the money that is taken out of the religion itself. I could vividly remember when this tower was going to be built in the Saudi Arabia, just right across from the Holy House of the Kaaba.
Right.
And the pictures were out.
Crown Tower.
Yeah.
The King's Tower.
The King's Tower, okay? So the main question was that when this simple cube is going to attract the people, so what is this tower doing over here?
Yeah.
I mean, spending the money that is taken out of the religion, but not for the religion, but for materialistic usage. This is not only, I mean, limited to, Saudi Arabia. We could see it in other Muslim lands that unfortunately this, we can say, a luxurious lifestyle
yes.
is getting into, and luxurious lifestyle sometimes when you give it the religious color.
Exactly.
And religious decoration, it
to
becomes
something
very
which is
much
not
dangerous.
Religious.
It yeah. becomes very much dangerous.
Exactly.
Because the people that are doing there, for sure, they are not doing it for the sake of religion. And the yeah. people who are attracted to it are not, for
yeah.
sure, attracted for the sake of religion, but for the money that is around it. Do you have any criticism on that, brother?
Well, obviously, it is said, al-amr bayn al-amrayn.
Okay.
You need to choose the medium way,
yeah.
the mediative way.
The moderate way.
The moderate way. We have a verse in the Quran, even regarding what we spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is known as infaq.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah is talking about those people who does infaq, who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does charity. Who are they? Allah says in chapter Furqan, verse 67, that وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُصْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Which means that those who basically spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or does charity, they neither waste, like they spend a lot of the money
yes.
into the charity, nor they keep like a lot and spend some of the money.
Uh-huh.
But وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. But surely they are basically, and the just means is ever between these two. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly saying this into the Quran as well, that a mu'min, a believer, is the one who choose the middle way, the moderate way, not going to the extreme and not being like, not even spending even a penny
that's
on this cause.
Yes.
The things that we see in the religion is because that we have this hadith as well in the Nahjul Balagha. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam has also mentioned about this, that the people, they live their life without the religion, and then in order to show that they are religious, for example, mm-hmm. or they are the Muslims or religious, they add religion up to the amount of the salt that we add in our food.
That is a spice.
Yeah, the spice,
okay.
in order to have some taste of the religion.
But
for example,
but we know that the religion is the food itself, not the spice.
The religion is actually food.
Okay.
And then this entertainment should be
yeah.
up to the amount of the spice or the salt that we should have.
Nice distinction that there is there. Religion
the
as the food or the spice
yes,
of the life.
Exactly.
But it's
yeah.
the other way around.
Okay.
And the problem is, for example, if I can give example, like our youth or the people in the West, usually they go to the parties. They do not, for example, do hijab, or for the boys
yes.
even, they do not have their own hijab as well. Obviously, the man should have the veil of
haya,
the eyes, haya and all
right.
those.
The chastity, that's
the
right.
The chastity and everything. We
okay.
don't see these things in the youth.
Okay.
But on the other side, in order to show that they are religious and they're Muslims, They just pray. Or, okay, for example, they fast in the month of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. In order to just show that they're also religious. For example, whenever it comes to the ladies,
yes,
all the boys, they say like hijab is wajib on the ladies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's on the others, basically. We, okay, try to apply religion on others, not on others. Ourselves.
Oh, very good. Very
That's
good.
Another issue.
Very good case.
That whenever you try to apply things on the others and you think that religion is something for the
for others,
and not me.
Themselves. That's right.
Not, okay, me. That's the problem where, mm-hmm, we see these things are happening. And if we today see, like, for example, these two towers that you said next to the, yes, Kaaba, the people go to the Kaaba in order to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And obviously, they don't have these worldly desires. They're not after worldly desires when, no, they go to the Kaaba.
If it was so, Prophet Muhammad did not break the idols, brother, the inside
prophet,
and around
the
it.
The Prophet himself was against this system of kings. And the
idolatry,
the
yeah, king system, monarchy
the
system,
the monarchy system.
Yes,
obviously he was against it.
Yes,
and the system that has been introduced by the Islam and,
yes,
the Quran is the system of Imam and Ummah. It's the system of leader and,
yeah,
the nation, the followers of a leader.
Yes,
and this leader should be living according to the standards that a medium or the lower people that they're living, and that's,
yeah,
what we see in the life of the Prophet as well. That the Prophet's lifestyle, his house, his clothes, and Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam,
yeah,
was according to the lower level of the people.
Thank you very much, Sayyid Mosenawi. Dr. Zazadeh, anything to add, brother?
I just wanted to mention just one very short thing about what you said about the reason behind these things.
Yes.
You know, doing something bad and giving it a good name, mm-hmm, just like coloring it with the name of religion or any other good thing, is a type of hypocrisy. And, you know, it is much worse than doing something bad without trying to color it with something good. And,
yes,
this is why hypocrisy is much worse than unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
In the Quran, hypocrites have been given the harshest, let's say,
just
warnings, and,
warnings
just, and they will be punished in the worst possible way,
yes,
on the Day of Judgment. Because not only they are doing the bad thing, but also they are defacing the religion, and they are the religion of God, and they have a much worse influence on the minds of other people about the religion,
that's
of
right,
God.
Okay.
And this is what makes it even worse, because there may be some people,
yes,
who really want to know the truth and they want to follow the religion of God, but when they see that some people who are being called religious, Muslims or whatever,
yes,
they are having those types of lifestyles that everyone knows that these are not,
okay,
proper, they will be misguided.
Then they will rely on the other sources.
Yes, yeah, okay, they will be, okay, misguided. And,
yes,
this misguidance and actually misleading people will be written on the on the shoulders of those people who are doing those,
okay,
things. And so the danger and the risk of those people who are doing these things is much worse than even unfaithful,
okay,
people.
So according to Imam Musa Asad, religion of Islam is for life, but not getting to the extremes or,
exactly,
being excessive or mask, we can say,
sure,
the consumption of all the resources around us. So we are doing, and sometimes I think that we are spending this world, you know, and we want to get to the end of this world in order to finish it and get to the other world sooner, so that what's happening over there. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps his blessings and na'amat and all his mercies in this world, but in the proper, moderate way.
Absolutely.
As you both, dear experts, believe in that. Thank you very much, Dr. Zazadeh.
You're very welcome.
Very nice elaboration, Sayyid Mohsen-Nahwi. Thank
welcome.
You very much. And dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much again for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. Please visit our website, parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also our YouTube page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and condolences to you all on a doleful day. Today is the 10th of Rabi Osani, and it's the passing away anniversary of one of the noblest ladies of the Prophet's blessed household. She was Hazrat Fatima Ma'suma, peace be upon her, the daughter of Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, who, after a brief 17-day sojourn in the Iranian city of Qom, failed to recover from the fatigue of the long journey from Medina and departed for the ethereal heavens. On hearing this sad news, her brother, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, who was in Khorasan, gave the tidings, "Whoever visits her tomb, cognizant of her status, paradise is the reward."
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
More than 1.1 million Medicare patients in the United States of America could die over the next decade because they cannot afford to pay for their prescription medications, according to a new study released recently by the West Health Policy Center, a nonprofit and nonpartisan policy research group. If current drug pricing trends continue, researchers estimate cost-related non-adherence to drug therapy will result in the premature death of 112,000 beneficiaries a year, making it a leading cause of death in the U.S., ahead of diabetes, influenza, pneumonia, and kidney disease. Millions more will suffer worsening health conditions and run-up medical expenses that will cost Medicare an additional $177.4 billion by 2030, or $18 billion a year for the next 10 years. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by Kenny Stansfield Ryder. This article is published under the heading, "High Drug Prices in U.S. Could Result in Premature Deaths of More Than 1.1 Million Seniors in Next Decade," analysis says. Here's the details of this article. More than 1.1 million American seniors in the Medicare program could die prematurely over the next decade because they cannot afford the exorbitant prices of prescription medications. That's according to a study released last week by the West Health Policy Center, a nonprofit and nonpartisan policy research group, and Zsanda, the research arm of AmerisourceBergen, a drug distributor. Researchers expect cost-related non-adherence to drug therapy to increase not only unnecessary suffering but also Medicare spending, as deteriorating health conditions drive up preventable expenses by more than $177 billion by 2030. Unless drug prices are reduced, the analysis estimated that 112,000 seniors per year could succumb to early death as a result of not being able to afford their medications. In addition, researchers projected that health complications stemming from the unaffordable cost of prescriptions will force Medicare to spend nearly $18 billion annually on avoidable medical expenses. Prescription drug prices have been soaring, with list prices having increased by 159% from 2007 to 2018. West Health noted that if these trends continue, cost-related non-adherence to drug therapy will be a leading cause of death in the U.S., ahead of diabetes, influenza, pneumonia, and kidney disease. One of the biggest contributors to poor health, hospital admissions, higher healthcare costs, and preventable death is patients failing to take their medications as prescribed, said Timothy Lash, president of the West Health Policy Center. He added, cost-related non-adherence is a significant and growing issue that is a direct result of runaway drug prices and a failure to implement policies and regulations that make drugs more affordable. Currently, Medicare beneficiaries are required to pay 25% of the list price cost of generic and brand name medications until they reach their out-of-pocket maximum. As drug companies continue to raise list prices, the analysis explained, patients may experience a significant increase in their coinsurance cost. If Medicare were able to directly negotiate with pharmaceutical companies, as described in H.R. 3, the Elijah Cummings Lower Drug Costs Now Act, which has languished on the desk of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell since it was passed by House Democrats in December 2019, it would result in dramatically lower prescription drug prices nationwide. HR3 is backed by the Patients for Affordable Drugs Now Coalition. David Mitchell, a cancer patient and the founder of the group, said last year that the legislative proposal could help fix broken system of U.S. and ensure Americans with private and public insurance get the drugs they need at lower prices. According to the Council for Informed Drug Spending Analysis, that is CIDSA, allowing Medicare to negotiate and limit drug price increases could prevent nearly 94,000 deaths per year, while also reducing Medicare spending by almost $476 billion by 2030. Sean Dixon, Director of Health Policy at West Health Policy Center and Chair of CIDSA, said that the costs of doing nothing about high drug prices are too high, especially when policy changes such as allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices would result in saving millions of lives and billions of dollars, he added. The price of prescription medications has skyrocketed in recent years in the United States of America. Between 2007 and 2018, list prices for branded pharmaceutical products increased by 159%, and there are few signs of it slowing. According to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, that is CMS, spending on prescription drugs will grow faster than any other major medical good or service over the next several years in the United States of America.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Peace and salutations be upon all of you, dear friend, of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today, Thursday, is the 10th of Rabiul Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of the month of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of November 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Today's special offers its condolences on demise anniversary of Lady Masuma, peace be upon her.
Ya bint Musa wa ibnat al-athari ukht ar-ridha wa habibat al-jabbari man في الجنان جزاء هذا هو المنصوص في الأخبار
السلام عليك السلام
The learned divine lady from the holy Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all. Hazrat Masuma was brought up in a very noble family. She was daughter of Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, the sister of Imam Reza, and the aunt of Imam Muhammad Taqi al-Jawad, alayhi salam. She was taught all the Islamic sciences by Imam Musa Kazem and Imam Reza, and she transmitted ahadith, that means traditions, from them. She became famous as Alama, that means the learned lady, and Muhaditha, that means the learned lady who transmitted ahadith, that means traditions. The traditions quoted by Hazrat Masuma are among the most authentic traditions which are present in various books of traditions. Hazrat Fatima bint Musa al-Kazim was most pious, noble, and reverend lady. Like her holy grandmother Hazrat Fatima Zahra alayha salam, she was always busy in performing salat, prayer, and kept fast most of the days. She was greatly respected and revered by her holy father Imam Musa al-Kazim alayha salam and her elder brother Imam Reza. She became famous as Masuma, that means the Immaculate, during her lifetime. Imam Reza has said about Hazrat Fatima Masuma that whoever performs the ziyarah of Fatima, visiting of Fatima Masuma in Qom, is like the person who has performed my ziyarah. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This short episode pertains to the demise of Hazrat Masumin Salamullah alayhi. Hazrat Masumin Salamullah alayhi, as we know, was a daughter of the seventh infallible Imam, Musa ibn Ja'far Salamullah alayhi, and she was sister of the eighth infallible Imam, Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam. We find that Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam and Hazrat Masumin Salamullah alayhi were from the same mother and the same father. We find that Hazrat Masumin Salamullah alayhi was really a knowledgeable lady, such that some of the religious queries were answered, I mean, by her. I mean, she answered many religious queries. When her answers to those queries were presented to the seventh infallible Imam, were presented to her father, the seventh infallible Imam, Musam Ja'far Salamullah Alayhi, he endorsed them and indicated that her answers to the queries were all correct. We find that Hazrat Masumin Salamullah Alayhi will certainly intercede for whoever believes in her and in the Islamic religion. And at the same time, we find that Hazrat Masumin Salamullah Alayhi has been one of the ladies, the merit of paying pilgrimage to her shrine and tomb is only being allowed into the divine paradise, and this is an exceptional grace bestowed on her because of her sublime religious position. Thank you.
معصومة هاي اختي الرضا هاي النجيبة ماتت غريبة فاطمة ماتت غريبة بصواب أخوها انصابت بجرح المصيبة ماتت غريبة فاطمة ماتت غريبة.
Demise of Hazrat Masuma alayha salam. In the year 200 AH, a year after the forced migration of Imam Reza from Medina to Merv in Khorasan by reigning Abbasid Caliph Ma'mun, Hazrat Masuma, accompanied by her brothers, left Medina from Khorasan to meet her elder brother Imam Reza. When they reached Sava in the central Iran, they were attacked by the Abbasid army and many of his brothers were mercilessly martyred. Hazrat Masuma became severely ill, and in this condition she migrated to Qom, where she was warmly welcomed by the Shia of the city. The effect of poisoning increased during her short stay in Qom, and she attained martyrdom in 10th of Rabiul Thani, 201 AH. Hazrat Masuma had great longing to meet her brother Imam Reza, but due to her sudden demise, she could not meet him. Imam Reza alayhi salam was deeply grieved when he came to know about the demise of her beloved sister, Hazrat Fatima Masuma. Dear friend, dear Muslim, dear Shia all over the world, please accept our condolences on the demise anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Masuma alayha salam.
As-salamu alayya أمير
of the Islamic Ummah Ayatollah Khamenei in a speech said, "There is no doubt that Hazrat Fatima Masuma played an indisputably important role in helping Qom become Qom. She played an undeniable role in helping this historical and religious city gain prominence. Through her journey among the companions and friends of the infallible Imams, and by traveling through different cities and sowing the seeds of knowledge and wilayah during her journey, especially after arriving in the city of Qom, this honorable lady, this young girl who had been educated by the Holy Prophet's household, caused Qom to shine as the main stronghold of the teachings of the Holy Prophet's household during the dark reign of oppressors. She made the city a stronghold for transferring the light of knowledge and the teachings of the Holy Prophet's household to the east and west of the world of Islam."
Mamur Rida was asked, or he told people, whomever visits my sister Al-Ma'suma, because he was still alive when she died. He said, "Whomever visits my sister Al-Ma'suma, then Allah will grant him Jannah, inshaAllah." Sayyid al-Mar'ashi al-Najafi, Ayatullah, Mar'aji al-Najafi, he says, "One day, one night, I could not sleep. Something happened, I could not sleep the night. And it was cold, winter cold. So I decided to go to the haram of Al-Ma'suma alayha salam, Fatima. But then I remembered the haram is closed at this time of the night. So I thought, let me go back, try to sleep until it's before Fajr time. Then I can go. That's when they open the haram and I'll go visit." He said, "So I slept with my hand under my head so I don't go in a deep sleep. So then I can wake up and go." He says, the moment I put my head, a little while later, I went into sleep and I saw Fatima al-Ma'suma alayhi salam in my dream telling me, "Go and rescue my Zuwar. Go help my Zuwar." He said, "I woke up from the dream, from the sleep. I was shocked. What is this?" So he said, "In that cold, I ran to the haram of al-Ma'suma alayhi salam. I saw a group of Zuwar. Apparently they were from Pakistan. Some Zuwar have come. They didn't realize, I guess, the haram was closed that night. So they were standing behind that haram and they were freezing. So this marja', Sayyid Mar'ash al-Najafi, he said, I knocked at the door of the shrine. A man opened the door. He said he recognized me. His name was Hajji Habib, Agai Habib. I told him, Hajji, these guys are the Zuwar of Fatima al-Ma'suma. And look, they're freezing. So open the door for them. Let them get in." He said, "No problem, Sayyid. Please come on in." So he said, they all went in. They rushed to do the ziyara. "I want to do my wudu and to pray." So this noble lady, mu'minin and mu'minat, takes care of her zuwar.
Dear friend, today's special offers its condolences on the demise anniversary of Lady Fatima Masuma alayha salam. Fi amanillah.
Ya Fatimatu, ishfa'i li fil jannah, fa inna laki 'inda Allahi sha'nan min ash-sha'n. Ya Fatimatu, اشفعي لي في الجنة فإن لك عند الله شأنا من الشأن. اللهم إني أسألك أن تختم لي بالسعادة فلا تسلب مني ما أنا فيه ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم.
V
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.